I'm waiting for the PowerPoint. Okay, it's there. Okay, I'm so happy to be with you in this afternoon. My name is, as the pastor always told you, my name is José Antonio Portador López. In Mexico, we have two last names, okay? Portador is my first last name, and López is the second. And my wife, you know my wife, please, yeah, thank you. My wife is Elizabeth McCachran, and we have two beautiful kids. A little difficult to take care of them, but I love them. Is Jonathan and Melody, okay? And we are working in Monterrey, well, in a city beside Monterrey, San Nicolás de los Garza, Nuevo León. This is the place where I am, where we are working. We are taking care of a church. The name of the church is Iglesia Bautista Reino de Dios, Kingdom of God in English. Okay, and these guys are my friends. It's the group. I know you have a group of men, and you call them the signs of the round table, right? Okay, when we have meetings in our church, we say we are going to los varones, the men, and they are my friends. I love them. We don't have any pastor preaching from another church in my church. They are working in my church. They are preaching, and it's a good blessing for me to have them. Next, please. Okay, many times we like to sing songs. The rondalla songs. In Mexico, rondalla is a kind of music, and we can use mostly guitars, okay? And we sing hymns and songs about the gospel. They are the women, yeah? In Spanish, we say la femenil in Spanish. And they are working with us in the church. Next, please. Okay, they are my teenagers. I know them since they were just little babies, some of them. And it's my great pleasure to see them growing in faith and working in our church. How do we work? We work with dramas. We make dramas. I don't know. You say dramas in English too? Okay. We many times when we want to invite people to come to church, many times they say, "No, I don't like to go to church because it's boring." And then I think, well, okay, I can make a drama and I can invite my friends, my families, my relatives, and they will see the drama, but they will receive the message in the drama. Okay? Okay, we are there in our last drama. We call the Golden Bible and the thieves. It's a story about these guys robs a Bible, and it's a Bible made of gold and with diamonds, and they start to read and they repent. They have a repentance and they believe Jesus, and people liked the drama. And when next, please. And we have we have made a lot of dramas. And as I told you, my teenagers are always involved in the activities for the church. When we finish the drama, we share some food, sandwiches, soda, you know. Many times, the people who comes to church just to see the drama come back not to see another drama, but to listen the gospel when I preach. And this is very, very wonderful for me, because in the drama they get to the church, but many of them continue going to church to listen to the gospel. And we make the VBS, you say VBS, right? My wife helped me the last VBS. She made the program, and we called the program Dios está con José. God is with Joseph. Next, please. Let me turn on my microphone. I have one. Bueno, okay. Thank you. My wife thought it was a very good idea if we have a performance and we dress as Egyptians, and the kids were all happy. Next, please. I was there doing as Pharaoh. Next, please. Okay, and our last VBS, we have around 50 kids. And the most of them listened the gospel for the first time. And it was so good because they could understand the love of God. We have new members. I'm going to show you some pictures. They are news in our church. Next, please. I was sharing the gospel with them, and now they are having discipleship. Now they are having discipleship. And they are not members, but they are going to get the baptism. And I love these guys. They are working with their relatives. They are making meetings. And this guy has around 20 people in his mother-in-law houses. He's preaching to around 20 people. Next, please. And they are inviting their friends to our church. Let me tell you something. They need to drive 1 hour or more in the traffic of the big city to get to the church, but they are doing this because I think they really love Jesus. Next, please. Our plans for the future, I said, next, please. I was thinking about we can start I'm praying. I would like to see two more churches. I don't know. I think it's possible. These marriages, are having in their houses
biblical studies.
Now, can you return to the? Thank you. This marriage to my left have around 15 persons in their house, and they are growing. And when I go back to Mexico, I want to work more with them, because I think there is a very, very big opportunity to plant more churches for the glory of God. Yeah. Well, in Mexico, we don't dress in this way, but we are celebrating there the Mexican Independence Day. This is the reason why we look so weird, but because we were celebrating our independence. As I told you, I think these people is my family. I love them so much. I think they really love Jesus. When I go to church, I can feel that I can let my children with them, and I can be in peace, because I know they are really Christians. I'm so happy for my church. I want you to let you know that I'm so grateful with God for you, for your church, for Pastor Alquist, because you support us with your prayers, and I feel happy staying here among you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, now I want to share with you the Bible, and I want to ask you to open your Bible in the second book of Timothy. Second book of Timothy. Chapter 2, please. Second book of Timothy, chapter 2. And I want to read just two verses. Are you ready? Yeah? Okay. I will try to read in English, but if I have any mistake, please, I ask you understand me. So therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to the faithful man who shall be able to teach others also. Let's pray, please. Dear God, at this moment I'm here to your church, and I'm so happy to be here trying to share your word with these people. And I want to ask you, oh Lord, you give me your words, you make me able to express what you want to say to your people. Please, I want to ask you, oh Lord, be with me, be with your church, and I hope this message could be good for our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. When the Apostle Paul was writing this letter for Timothy, he was a little concerned because Timothy, it was discouraged. And Paul tried to cheer Timothy because he knew that Timothy has a nature easily discouraged. Paul feels the necessity to tell him, strive. Strive, my son, and not be discouraged. Because Paul knew that Timothy would need strength and endurance to accomplish the call of God. But Paul is not simply saying, oh, come on, man, come on, you can do it, just do it. No. Paul said, be strong. And we can read this in the verse number one. Paul is not saying, just do it. Paul is saying, be strong. You can do it, but be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The strength you need is not in yourself. The strength you need is in the grace and love of God. So don't be afraid then. All what you need in your life is the grace of God working in your heart. Maybe you can say, but I've tried so many times to serve the Lord Jesus, and I feel that I have failed. I don't deserve another chance from Jesus. And now, let me tell you something. The word grace means a favor. A favor that we don't deserve. And this is what God is offering you. And you can come to God and ask, not in yourself, not in your strength, but in the power of God. And this is a very important thing that Paul is saying to Timothy. Be strong. Timothy, you need to be strong, but not in your own strength. You need to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. The second point that I want to tell you this afternoon is that the verse number two, I want to ask Brother Alquist, can you read the verse number two, please? Okay. This is the second point. We need to train faithful men who also train others. Timothy listened to many Bible studies from Paul and shared a lot of time with the apostle in personal discipleship. But here it seems to refer to the doctrine that was given to Timothy. Now, God gave Timothy a ministry, not to keep it, but to pass it on to others. It was not enough to train Timothy. Paul wanted more men to be dedicated to God's service. It's not enough if you are waiting that the work of the church can be done if just one man is working. Let me tell you this. You're wrong. I'm sorry, but you're wrong. Because the work of the church is not not for just one man. We need to be involved in the work of the church. This is what Paul is saying. Timothy, you need to train faithful men. Then we can see that we need faithful men in the church. We need more faithful men that we can train to teach other people. It's not enough, I said. It's not enough with the work of one man. We need more faithful men in the church to whom the work of ministry can be entrusted, and they in turn can teach others. Then I have some questions for you. Are you willing to be a faithful man? Are you willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to teach other people what you have learned from God? This is very important. I want to express my gratefulness because I can see many of you serving the Lord, and I think that is good. But we need more faithful people because the harvest is what? Because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. This is the reason why we need more faithful men. You may say, well, I think that is not necessary to train more people. Why not? Because all positions in my church are filled. There are no vacancies. But let me tell you something. The church should not only train leaders when the need for a leader is evident, or train people for momentary needs. We must train people for the kingdom of God in every moment, because you don't know when the Lord could call you to serve Him. And this is the reason why we need more faithful men, because you don't know when the Lord could call you to serve Him. The point number three that I want to share with you is this. We must be soldiers for Christ. We need to be soldiers for Christ. Anybody of you want to read the verse number three, please? Yes. This is what Paul is waiting from us. To be good soldiers for Christ. Now let me tell you this. The life as a soldier is not easy, okay? In Mexico, we think about the Marines, and we feel these guys are so brave. Yeah. Because they get training of discipline and harness to prepare him for war. And this is the idea from Paul. The Apostle Paul was thinking, we need to be like a soldier. We are not going to have a picnic. We are going to war. Christian life is hard if you try to live in your own strength. You need Jesus. And this is the reason why Paul wants you to be a good soldier. And this is our duty as soldier of Christ. We should be willing to endure hardness. And the second duty as soldier of Jesus is we need to please Him. We need to please Him. Let me tell you this. There is a story about, I don't know if I can say this correct. In Spanish we say Napoleon Bonaparte. How do you say in English? Napoleon? Well, in Spanish we say Napoleon Bonaparte. I like when I wrote in Google Translator, and I click in the pronunciation in French. I love the pronunciation Napoleon Bonaparte. And I want to tell you a story about Napoleon Bonaparte. When he escaped from the Isle of Elba to return to France and recover his throne, their enemies sent the 5th Regiment of Infantry to put him on prison. When an officer from this 5th Regiment saw Napoleon, he shouted, "There he is! Fire! Fire!" But the soldiers, nobody shot. Then Napoleon, dismounting his horse and walking alone unto the soldiers, opened his coat and said, "Soldiers of the 5th, you know who I am. If any man would shoot his emperor, he may do so now." Then the soldiers look at each other, and after a moment of silence, they say, "No! Long live the emperor! Vive Napoleon Bonaparte! Vive la France! Vive l'empereur!" This is the kind of love that I think Jesus deserves. Well, I think Jesus deserves a love bigger than this. And this is what these soldiers made for his commander, for Napoleon Bonaparte. And I think, do you want to honor Jesus? These soldiers wanted to honor Napoleon Bonaparte. Do you want to honor God? Do you want to please Him with your life? I think Jesus is worthy to receive our love because Jesus Christ is the commander of the army of heaven. Can you see amen? Yes, Jesus is the commander of the army of heaven. And He is our captain. And we need to love our captain. The 4th point that I want to share with you is this. We must be like, I don't know, let me to remember what Elizabeth said. Athletes. Okay. We must be like athletes. Okay. We must be like athletes for Christ. Can you read verse number 5, please? Thank you. The idea in this verse is of a man who practices a sport until he has mastered it to get a crown in the Olympic Games. Yeah? We can call this person an athlete. And the point is clear. An athlete cannot modify or invent the rules at will. He must compete lawfully for God to receive a crown. Yeah? And this remind me another story. I want to tell you this story. When I read this story, I really enjoy it. Let me tell you the story about Eric Liddell. Have you ever heard about him? No? Okay, there is a movie about his life. I think it's, in Spanish we say Carros de Fuego, Chariots, Chariots of Fire, something like this, okay? Okay, this story is about a Christian athlete. This is a story about Eric Liddell. He was born in China, but his parents were from Scotland. And Eric Liddell was the best runner of his country. In a moment, he was the faster runner on over the world. His specialty was 100 meters. And in his country, everybody was talking Eric Liddell could win the race because he was the faster. But there was a problem. When he went to compete at the Olympic Games, the race, it would happen on Sunday. Did you hear that? On Sunday. Eric Liddell wanted to run, but he wanted to obey God and go to church because it's Sunday. What would you do in his place? Eric decided not to compete and go to church. Are you listening to this? When their friends knew about Eric's decision, they said, "Really? Eric, you're crazy! You're the best runner in this discipline! And you don't want to run? What are you going to do?" "No, I have decided. I don't want to run. I'm going to church." "But this is your chance. This is your opportunity. I'm going to church." And he lost this race and won 100 meters. But God gave him another chance. He could run 200 meters. But this was not his race. It was the double of sacrifice. And everybody was thinking, "You cannot win this race. This is not your race. You lost your chance just because you wanted to go to church." But Eric went to the race. When he was on the road, someone sent him a message. It was a passage in Samuel, that say, "I honor who honor me." Then Eric Liddell read the message and say, "I'm around." And then we are in the competition and this man is running. Not for crowds, not for the country, not for human glory. This man is running for the glory of God. And you know what? This man won the race for the glory of God, because he decided to honor God. And this is what we need to understand. We need to run the race as athletes, but we need to obey the commandments of God. And the last point I want to share with you is the point number 5. And this is about this. We must be like hard worker farmers. Anybody of you can read the verse number 6, please? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, please. Yeah. The husbandman that labored must be first partaker of the fruits. When Paul said this to Timothy, Paul was saying, Timothy, you need to have the attitude of a hard worker farmer. You need to work. You need to plant the seed and wait. And this is very important, because if we don't work, we are not going to receive the fruits. Many times we wanna have fruits, but we don't want to work. And this is not possible. Paul says the farmer needs to work. The husbandman that labored must be first partaker of the fruits. Then, if we want to have the fruits, we need to work. And you can say, well, I have been working for years. And many times I wonder if I am doing fine, because many times I can't see the fruits. But let me ask you, can the farmer make grow the seed? No. He just need to put the seed in the earth, and God will make grow the seed. God is not saying to you, you need to make grow the seed. No. God is saying, you just put the seed and look at me. What I'm going to do with you. This is what God wants from us. We need to work. We need to put the seed. And don't worry. Don't worry about the results. Because if you are working, if you are doing your work with love, with passion for Jesus, you need to think this. Sometimes when I go to preach to the people, and when I'm working in the church, I think, oh, I don't know if I am doing fine. And my wife asked me, why do you say that? I think we are not having, we are not improving. And I think God uses my wife to help me to see, to help me to think. And I think in Noah. This guy made a great ark. Now let me ask you, how many people were saved in Noah's ark? Do you think Noah was a successful man unto God? But many times we think, no, I am not seeing my fruits. Okay. It's possible that we can think when Noah made the ark, just 8 people were saved. Let me tell you this. You're wrong. I know that millions of people have been saved. Because this man in the Bible did the ark. And many people have heard the gospel when they listen to someone preaching about Noah's ark. Then God has been saving more people about what he did in Noah's life. Then I want to tell you this. I am so grateful for God, for you, for your church, and I hope this message could be good for you. Thank you very much. Thank you.